Like to begin over in the book of 2 Chronicles. I've written the title on the board, Take It to the Lord. And for over a week, that has just been resonating in my heart. And the Lord has just been impressing upon me with personally and as to share it with you all, take it to the Lord. If you have a burden this morning, take it to the Lord. If you have something that's been weighing you down, take it to the Lord. If there's something that has been almost seeming to crush you, take it to the Lord. And we find someone, and it's a very familiar passage over in 2 Chronicles, the story of Jehoshaphat. And I'd like to revisit that a little bit. 2 Chronicles in the 20th chapter, and I'm going to skip through some of the verses for the sake of time today. But it came to pass that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Verse 3 it said, and Jehoshaphat feared. We could stop right there, couldn't we? Here's Jehoshaphat, and the enemy has come and encamped around about him, and it was a great host. Have you ever been in a place that seemed like the enemy was just attacking from all sides? And there was something there, the reaction of Jehoshaphat was, it said he feared. Do you know that there is something that some people might say, well, saints of God should never have fear. You know, I won't argue with you about it, but I might humbly disagree. Now, I know that perfect love casteth out what? Casteth out fear. Perfect love. However, there are times in life that there is a fleshly, in the flesh, there is a fear because of the uncertainty of what's going to happen. But when Jehoshaphat felt fear, he did not run away. It said what he did in verse 3, it said, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast. I would this morning that when the enemy comes against us, that we not run away, but that we would seek the Lord. And this morning I want to encourage you in your personal life. And I'm also going to give an opportunity at the end of this message if anybody would like to come and seek the Lord. But if there are things that are in your life this morning that are weighing you down, the best thing that we can do is seek the Lord. Take it to the Lord, and that's what Jehoshaphat did. He did it with fasting because he wanted the Lord to know, I am invested in this. This isn't just a casual, in other words, it's easy when someone says, does anyone have an unspoken burden? We could all put our hands up. But are we just saying, yeah, I've got lots of things I'd like God to do? Or is there something specific? Have we been praying, those of you that had unspoken burdens? And I know some of you do, and I do too. Have we been seeking the Lord about it? Or is it something it's easier just to put our hand up at church and then go home and forget about it? When Jehoshaphat had a burden, it said he set himself. He got himself mentally and spiritually in a condition that I'm going to seek the Lord and I'm going to fast. I'm going to give up my food because I want the Lord to know, Lord, I am desperate for you to work. And it said, Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. You know, there is a blessing in unified seeking God. I have seen God do some miraculous things when His people came together with oneness of heart and sought the Lord. Do you know that where there is disunity, God cannot work effectively? Where people are not getting along in marriages, it's hard for God to work. It is hard for God to work in congregations where there is division and where there are oughts and where there are brothers and sisters in a congregation or in the body of Christ that are not walking together. How can they come to the Lord and say, Lord, we really need you? And the Lord's looking down and said, you won't even help yourself. You won't even do what you can. Folks, this is why when we are our needs, it's important to take stock of your relationship with your fellow man. If you can't get along with those in your own household, in your own congregation, in those that you work with, how can we expect God to work effectively? The Lord honors unity when there's oneness of heart. And they came together, they gathered themselves together in unity because we're desperate for God to work. I have noticed, and I'm sure you all have too, in marriage, do you know something that will bring, I'll tell you, if there's been any differences, something that will bring you together, if you'll let it, is when there's a burden for something. And you come together as, Lord, we don't want there to be anything that's hindering our prayers. Lord, we need you. Our children, our child is sick. I remember some things our children have gone through. Ethan, I guess it was, or Zachary. Ethan, I'm sorry, we'll get there. I know there's been more than one. But I remember when he was having febrile seizures. It was scary. It was fearful. And our faith was in God. We didn't take him in. We took him to the Lord, and the Lord came through. But when your child is not breathing, and you're holding them, and they're convulsing, and then they freeze up, and they're not breathing, and turning blue, I want to tell you, I don't want anything to hinder my prayers. I don't want there to be anything that's standing in the way of getting through to God, because, Lord, I'm desperate for you to come through. These folks here came together, and I want to encourage you this morning, if there is anything in your life where there's a problem, and there is an ought, something standing in the way, get rid of it, that your prayers be not hindered. Set yourself to seek the face of the Lord. And they came to the Lord in verse 6, they said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? I mean, Lord, don't you rule over all the kingdoms of the heathen, and in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? If when evil come upon us as the sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and we cry unto thee in our affliction. Lord, we come to this house. They came to the temple. Lord, we stand before this house, and we stand where your presence is. Lord, aren't you the God of heaven? Do you know that we can come before the presence of the Lord this morning with assurance, with the problems that we have in life? There is a Lord that loves us. There is a God that understands us. There is a God that understands that we're flesh and blood. He understands that we have problems. Maybe it's personal, maybe it's spiritual. He understands our weaknesses this morning. And we can come and say, Lord, I come before you in worship. Aren't you the God up in heaven? Lord, I'm desperate for you. You know, the Lord has proven himself to be a faithful God. So where shall we turn in time of trouble? Where are we going to go? Where are we going to take our problems? Where are we going to take our needs? I want to encourage you today to take it to the Lord. They came and they cried and they sought the Lord. And then in verse 15, well, in verse 12, I love this because they acknowledge their need. They said, we have no might against this great company that has come against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on thee. Have you been there? Lord, I don't know what to do. Been in places that I did everything I knew to do, and it still fell short. Wasn't good enough. Come to the Lord and say, Lord, I have no strength against this great multitude. Facing the battle today, Lord, I don't know what to do. I've tried. I've done what I thought, Lord, you said to do here, and it didn't work. In other words, on my part, not blaming God's word. But Lord, it was my feeble efforts didn't work. What do I do, Lord? He said, I don't know what to do, but I've come to you, and my eyes are on you, Lord. This morning, if you are facing a giant, if you are facing something in your life that you say, I just don't know what to do, get your eyes fixed on the Lord, and I want you to know this morning the Lord's going to bring you through. He'll bring you through. You don't have to have the strength against every enemy. You can't change. Yesterday, told more than one person, you cannot change anybody else. We say, well, if I do it just right, it'll work. I'm sorry to disappoint you all. It doesn't work. You can reach out to people. You can do what you can. And you cannot change anybody. But what we have the ability to do this morning is say, Lord, my eyes are on you. And I'm going to look to you to bring me through this battle. And when you have that spirit, the Lord starts working in here, doesn't he? The Lord starts changing me. And there may be situations this morning that you're facing. It's like, I don't know what to do. Do what you know God wants you to do, number one. Don't stand helpless if you know there's something God wants you to do. But when you've done what the Lord wants you to do, having done all to stand, stand therefore, but do it with your eyes on the Lord. Well, he went on to say then, verse 15, the prophet came and spoke and said, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is what? It's not yours, but it's God's. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't throw your hands up this morning. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed because of the great battle, because the battle's God's. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And he went on to tell him again, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. Tomorrow, the Lord's going to go with you. You in a battle this morning? And you know, if you're not this morning, until the Lord comes back, there's a tomorrow coming, and the enemy's going to come back. And you're going to face a battle. You're going to face problems. And you're going to face situations. But don't be dismayed this morning, because the battle's God's. If you will walk with God, the Lord's going to fight your battle. And if you read through this, the rest of this chapter, Jehoshaphat, he fell on his face. And this is just beautiful. He fell on his face. And you know what he did? He began to worship God. And they called out the appointed singers to go out and sing praises to the Lord. And the enemy was still there. The battle hadn't been won yet. And yet Jehoshaphat knew, when he came and took his problem to the Lord, he thought, I can go out and I can still worship my Lord. If you are in a battle this morning, I want to encourage you to lift your hand up. You can do it physically, but do it spiritually. Do it figuratively. Do it in your heart, but lift your hand up to God and begin to worship Him and begin to give Him praise, because He's the one that's going to see you through. And the Lord went out, and you can read the rest of it, and the Lord set ambushments against them, and their enemy was smitten. Don't you like that word, smitten? The Lord smote the enemy of the Israelites, of the Jews here. The Lord will do that for us. He's proven himself. When you face the enemy of self, when you face affliction, when you face people problems, when you face temptation, when you face offenses and failure and questions, I want to encourage you to take it to the Lord. Don't bottle it up. You know what happens when we bottle things up? Some people say, I'm just stuffing it. Have you ever stuffed something? I'm just stuffing it. Yeah, I wanted to say, I'm just stuffing it. I'll tell you what usually happens. You stuff it so long, and something's going to explode. And usually explosions are not done decently and in order. Have you noticed that? Don't stuff it. Take it to the Lord. If you have a problem, take it to the Lord. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with what? With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. In everything. I don't know what you're facing this morning, but we can get under the oppression of things that we face in life. And it stills our joy. It stills our victory. It stills the blessings of life. And the Lord's saying, bring it to me. Take it to the Lord. You remember, and I'm not going to read all the scriptures for the sake of time this morning, okay? Because I want to get the message out. And my prayer was that with this message that my attention to detail would not hinder the message the Lord wants to get out. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? She spent, you can read it in Mark in the 5th chapter, but she had a problem and she had suffered many things, it said, of many physicians and had spent everything that she had. She was looking for the answer. And she grew worse. Have you ever been there? It's like I'm doing everything I know to do and it just seems like it's not getting better. It's just getting worse. And then she heard about Jesus. And I'm so thankful that one day I heard about Jesus too. And I heard that I could take every problem and I could take every need and I could take it to the Lord and He wouldn't look at me in self-righteousness. He wouldn't judge me. He wouldn't cast me off, but He would be there to open up His arms of love and minister to me in my need. That was the reality that this woman felt. She thought, if I can just get through the press, if I can just get through the multitude and touch the hem of His garment, I'll be whole. What faith? If I can just take it to the Lord, something's going to change. And she came and touched Him, and the Scripture says that straightway, she was healed. Straightway. There is a song, and I wish I could sing it. I won't do that to you all this morning. It says, touching Jesus is all that matters. And then your life will never be the same. Just touching Jesus. With whatever my problem is, if I could just take it to the Lord. Now I want to say that there are times that when we take it to the Lord, there are instantaneous healings. Those are wonderful. Instantaneous victories. But there are also Job situations. Job suffered for many years. And it took time before the Lord said, enough's enough. But do you know that even when Job was in the fire, the Lord had His hand on the thermostat? And I found that reality too, that even if I'm suffering, and I'm not just talking physically this morning, but if I am suffering and I am under a load and a burden, I can take it to the Lord and I can cast my care on Him and He will walk with me through this. And when the time is right, He'll say, okay, now it's time. But until that time, don't keep it to yourself. Don't think that you're going to just be strong and I'll just deal with it. Folks, we were not equipped to walk through life without the Lord. And I'm going to say something else, and that is this, that there are times that we can have physical needs and we can have mental needs and we can have emotional needs. Just this week, there have been multiple people that had reached out and told Renee, one of them particularly said, you know, there's not very much said among us about depression. We talk about, you know, people get to middle age and you've heard about midlife crisis, there's things changing. You know, that can be real to people, even people that saved and love the Lord. There are people, there's postpartum depression. People, you know, women have babies and they go through it and there's a depression that's there. One of the reasons we want to be careful about labeling is because many times in our society, people are looking for a label and they use it as an excuse. But that does not change the reality that even God's people go through difficult times physically and mentally and emotionally. And I remember, and I know I've testified, I remember I went through a very dark time. I did not have a nervous breakdown, but I was really close to it. And I want to tell you, it came to a place that almost that I could not pray for myself. I almost couldn't pray. I just couldn't do it for myself. I could pray for others. But do you know that there was something that brought me through that? It was the Lord, because I'd had a pattern of taking it to the Lord. And when I got to the place that I was so weak, I couldn't even do it, the Lord was already there by my side and He was carrying me through that time that brought me to the other side. If something is wrong this morning, it does not mean that you have done something wrong. It does not mean that you have necessarily sinned or your faith isn't what it ought to be. There are times of sickness and hardship that people go through. And in those times, our answer is still found in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember, and again, please excuse me for repeating it, but I remember in particular one night, sitting up in the living room, everybody else was in bed, it was in the middle of the night, I could not sleep, and I could not turn my mind off. I hope it's alright to talk about these things. I cannot, I have difficulty shutting my mind off, and after a while it just got overloaded and wasn't functioning like it should have. It's hard for me to turn it off. And I remember that night, it seemed so dark. It seemed so dark. And there were situations that were burdening me down, that I just were weighing me down. And I remember the Lord gave me a glimmer. And He spoke to me and He said, I love you. He said, you're my child. And I want you to know I was able to latch hold of that. And that carried me through some dark weeks. But I knew I was a child of God, and it kept me. It kept me. Take it to the Lord. When your children are in trial and your children are going through tough times, there's no better place. No better place to go than to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. Sometimes there's burdens that we carry that sometimes we can carry the burden so much that it steals, the enemy is successful in stealing our joy and our peace and our victory. And the Lord's saying, let me take it. It's like if I could only, I would die. You know, there are so many, I would die for any one of you this morning if it would make a difference in your eternal soul. I would do it. Any of you. I would go out today and lay down my life if it would make a difference for you eternally. I'd do it for any one of you. But you know, my death wouldn't make a difference. Jesus already did that. Jesus died on the cross because He knew our flesh. He knew our humanity. He knew that we weren't able to bear the burdens of life for ourselves. So if the burdens of life begin to weigh you down, and I have not been as successful as I've always wanted, but I know where the answer is. Lord, I want to bring it to You. Recently, we had something very, very serious situation, real burden for someone. And I remember when it came to our attention, I remember thinking, Lord, I can't carry this one. Can't do it. And you know, the Lord did something for me. Because I was able, before I let the burden get me down too much, I was able to come and say, Lord, this is Yours. I know my worry and my burden's not going to change anybody else. So Lord, I want to give it to You. You know, sometimes you can feel like you have to be so burdened that if you're not so burdened that you're not taking it seriously enough. Folks, there's a place that we have to learn to cast our care on the Lord. Because I don't want the enemy to steal what the Lord has for me. It's a challenge. And there's going to be time to say, Lord, I wasn't as successful as I could have. But this is the answer this morning. Take it to the Lord. Whatever the burden, whatever the need, physical, financial, can we take our financial problems to the Lord? Has the Lord ever solved a financial problem for anybody here besides me? Miraculously? You remember the story of George Mueller at the orphanage that when they ran out of food, had all the orphan children there and it was time for breakfast and they did not have any food. And so he told the, and they didn't have any money either to go buy it. So he told the children, he said, you know, it's about time for school. So he said, let's sit down and we need to pray. Pray for breakfast. Pray for the food. And they didn't have a thing. They sat down and they began to pray. Remember what happened? There's a knock on the door and there was a baker. The baker said, Mr. Mueller, he said, I couldn't sleep last night and somehow, he said, I felt like you didn't have bread for breakfast. So I got up and I made some breakfast. I made some bread. And so I got up at 2 a.m. this morning and baked all of this. So here's some bread. That was miraculous, wasn't it? As soon as the baker left, There's another knock on the door. There's the milkman. Milkman said, Mr. Mueller, he said, my milk car broke down right outside here. He said, I don't want the milk to spoil. So he said, can you all take this milk and use it? What are we going to do with our problems? Need a tire, Brother Leroy? Yeah, I do too. Need a tire? There's a tire right there on the side of the road. Fit your car. Those things don't just happen. The Lord's done that for me many a time. The Lord can do it for you. Sometimes there's the awe factor in it. And then sometimes the Lord, just when we take it to the Lord, there's just a way that the Lord's going to take care of His people. Lord, help us to take our burden to You. Anybody have a spiritual need this morning? Anybody have anything you've been struggling with and it just seems like that you haven't quite gotten the victory like you needed? We're not equipped to bear those spiritual needs by ourselves. This is why Jesus said, come unto Me. That was an invitation. He said, come unto Me, all ye that labor. In other words, you're working and working and working and I'm trying to overcome and I'm going to try to do this. Sometimes, and I know, I'll just say it. Quit working so hard. If you're saved this morning, quit working so hard. Quit trying so hard. I'm trying to do right and I'm trying to do this and I'm trying to measure up here and I'm trying and trying and trying. And we try ourselves into a place of weariness and fatigue till we can't live life. Let's labor and enter into the rest that the Lord has for us. Let's cease from our own labors and start resting in the power of the blood of Jesus. Lord, I've tried this. And I've been failing. I'm going to try to stop. I'm going to stop trying so hard now. Lord, I'm going to take it to You. Lord, would You apply Your blood to this in my life? And next time I face it, I'm not going to try so hard. And I'm just going to say, by the power of the blood of Jesus, no. There's power there. Take it to the Lord. Failure? What will we do in failure? Are we going to walk away? We going to throw our hands up and say, it's just not working for me. That's what led Judas to go out and commit suicide. You all know how many people that have sat under the sound of the gospel among the saints and been tempted to take their own life. We don't talk about this, do we? It's real. I have no stones to throw. However, there's one that we can take it to. Said, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on You. And You will find that there is a friend that will walk with you and He will help you to get through the darkest times of life. If you have failed the Lord over and over, there is a place of forgiveness. There is a place of restoration in the Lord Jesus. In times of temptation, I know people get to a place that they're just so frustrated with the devil. It's like, have you ever been there? The devil just won't leave you alone. It's like you get so tired of it day after day, hour after hour, and the devil just is wearing you out. You can take it to the Lord. Lord, I'm tired and I don't want to give in. I wonder what would have, I know the difference. When David went up on the rooftop, do you remember the story of David and Bathsheba? David went up to the rooftop. He should have just taken it to the Lord. Instead, he allowed his eyes to start looking at something that took him down a path of adultery and murder. In temptation, it would have turned out a whole lot different if he would have taken it to the Lord. And the Lord would have made a way to escape. Going back to Judas for a moment, the opposite of that was Peter, who had also failed the Lord. But what did he do? He went out and wept bitterly and sought the Lord in repentance. And the Lord forgave him and restored him. And the Lord could have done that for Judas too. I believe the Lord would have wanted to have done that for Judas. So wherever temptation, failure, take it to the Lord. What about offenses? We're not asking for the show of hands, and sometimes I like to have those little clickers that we could have the survey show up so you could just privately click and you kind of understand you're not alone. You ever been someone really caused an offense and you've done everything you knew to do and it wasn't good enough? So what do? Take it to the Lord. The scripture says that offenses will what? They will come. They will come. And that means that when you've been mistreated, it means misunderstood, sometimes cut off. And it doesn't feel good. So what are you going to do? Are you going to go tell everybody? You know what happens when you do that? When you take it to everybody else, you've just spread the offenses. If I go tell to my children everything that ever happened to me, you know, there are some people I have a feeling they might have difficulty forgiving. Why give my children that? Why put that burden on my children? Because about the time I find that place of release and forgiveness, they're still struggling. So what do we do when we're offended? Or offenses. See, offended sounds like you're wearing your feelings on your sleeves. That's a different message. But when someone has not done you right, and there is an offense, and it hurts, especially when it's people of your own home. Isn't that where the greatest offenses come from, when it's family and in the church? I want to encourage you to take it to the Lord this morning. If you've been hurt this morning, don't walk away from the Lord because of it. Don't walk away from His people. Don't walk away from fellowship. I dare say this morning that if we had all left when someone offended us in the church, in the body of Christ, I dare say there wouldn't be anybody here this morning. Because people are people, and people are rude sometimes, and people say things that are not right, and sometimes people are flat out carnal, and they're going to have to deal with God about that. And they don't want love. They don't want your relationship. But what will we do? What will our response be? Take it to the Lord. And I will testify that there is a place of healing, that you can have peace even when there's still pain. Take it to the Lord. And I'm going to conclude here shortly. Other circumstances that people face. Giants this morning? Any walled cities? Things in your path that seems to have just been really weighing you down and say, I don't know what to do. It's all right not to know what to do. That's all right. You're not the first person to be there, and you're not going to be the last. But let's follow the example of Jehoshaphat. I don't know what to do, but Lord, my eyes are on You, and I'm going to seek You. And it is for this reason that the promise or the invitation is given to us in Hebrews, and the 4th chapter and the 16th verse. Because we have a high priest that is touched with the feeling of our infirmity, He said, let us come boldly. Let's come with assurance to the throne of grace. We might find grace and help. Or mercy, obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That is an invitation to each and every one of us this morning. Whatever, take it to the Lord. So in closing, let's sing a song. Anyone here this morning that would like to just bring it to the Lord, I'm going to give this invitation as well. If you would like, and we're not going to ask you today, but if you would like someone to pray with you, the altar's open. If you just need some quiet time with the Lord, these front benches, no one's going to come and pray with you. That's a place to just quietly seek the Lord. But if there's anyone here that's burdened this morning and is struggling with any of these things and other things that might be in your life, the Lord's inviting us to bring it to Him that He can minister to us.